Well, hey there. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Emily Filaramo is my guest today. Emily's got some great ideas on how to get past our past. Now, I don't know about you, but it raises its ugly head and bites me in the butt every once in a while, and it's a good thing to be able to cope with it, obviously. So Emily's going to help us with that today. She's got some good ideas along with a really cool book. So stay tuned. Emily Filaramo, right after this. Hey man, send me some mail. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Sure would like to know how you're doing, so drop me a line. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Emily Filaramo. Did I say your name right, Emily?
Yes, you did.
Hey, all right. Emily knows how to make peace with her past, and she's written a book about that called How to Permanently Erase Negative Self-Talk So You Can Be Extraordinary. And we all want to be extraordinary, and we want to get rid of that negative self-talk. I find myself, you know, saying negative stuff all the time, but I've learned how to check myself. Well, we're going to see what Emily has to say about that. She's going to share her discoveries with us right now. Welcome, Emily. How are you?
Thank you, Rodney. So such a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you. Listen, we'd like to get started by just finding out a little bit about you. Can you tell us a little bit of your background and where it is you're coming from?
Okay. Well, I'm 52 years old, and I had a 27-year professional career in the pharmaceutical industry after college. Mm-hmm. And after a layoff back in 2011, that is when I had to go deep down inside and figure out what am I going to do for the next phase of my life. And mm-hmm. that's when I decided to launch into an entrepreneurial journey.
Okay.
And through launching into my entrepreneurial journey, I found my real life calling as a Be More Extraordinary magician. And that is to help people erase negative self-talk, fears, and insecurities at the source so that they can have the courage and the confidence to really unleash the fullness of who they are. You know, that real self that some of us have a chance to tap into every single day. I know a lot of people want to tap into that real self every day, that those moments of brilliance that you have sometimes, but not all the time. And so this is, I ended up in a training, which turns out to be one of the most powerful healing models that there is. It's a psycho-spiritual healing and coming home to your true self, so to speak, so that you could lead yourself to your own greatness. Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered is that through my own childhood, which was not as pleasant, and because all of us have some sort of wounding from childhood, and some of us grow up after we leave home, we just kind of sweep the baggage under the rug, so to speak, mm-hmm. and just convince ourselves that, okay, I'm not my story, I'm going to make a new life for myself. I have to forget about all of this stuff from the past and just move on. Mm-hmm. And which is a lot of what the self-help mm-hmm. literature tells us to do. Mm-hmm. And some of the mentors just say, move on. You're not your story. You're not living in the past anymore. But that can only work for so long, because the reality is, and what I have discovered in my own journey of ending up in depression 10 years ago, triggered by another situation, is really, we cannot sweep our past under the rug consciously, no matter how hard we try, because it's going to come back to bite us in some way or form, in some way, such as like emotional problems or health problems, relationship problems, okay. or just lack of joy.
So what do we do
and,
with
and
it?
That's,
What do we do with it? If we don't just sweep it under the rug, what is it we do with it?
We have to get in touch with those parts of us that are still frozen in old significant emotional events. Because those parts of us that were bullied, or that, you know, when the parents gave us a dirty look, and when they told us we're not good enough, were those parts of us that was just shamed by the teacher, and or maybe you couldn't get accepted into the cool kids club. You know, those parts of us that just felt so much pain, emotional pain, as a result of those events. Mm-hmm. And they could be anywhere from, like, you know, when you were 2 months old to when you were, you know, 22 years old. So those young parts of us are the very parts of us that keep speaking out to try to get attention, because they're still stuck in the past. They're still stuck in that bedroom when they were hiding out, or in that schoolyard when they were bullied, or in that kitchen when somebody made fun, when mom or dad made fun of you. And so those parts of us are still frozen and back in those memories. And so what happens is that when those moments of bad things happen to us,
mm-hmm.
our system, our inner landscape starts to reorganize. And that means the parts of us that used to be balanced, that used to have us eat healthy, takes on an extreme role of, well, you know what, we need to eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's every night to soothe our emotional pain. Or the parts of us that used to have us drink in moderate amounts and being able to control our drinking mm-hmm. ends up in an extreme role and says, we need to drink every day to kind of like chill out and feel good. So eating too much, shopping too much, drinking too much, gambling, any of the quote-unquote addictions, you know, light addictions or heavy addictions, too much video games, too much gambling, the need to have affairs. Well, any of the feelings that we have that are just extreme, such as anxiety and arrogance and control, and, you know, the need to like control other people and control your partners, and sadness and anxiety and anger, those angry outbursts and numbness and denial and whatever it is, all those feelings that you have, you're like, why is this coming up? Why do I feel this way? So all of those negative feelings, thoughts, and behaviors, they all came into being as a result of those significant emotional events. Because our system reorganized, and the part that used to be extroverted and is happy to talk to people and be jolly and sometimes okay. have to, like, turn into an extreme shy role because you got humiliated when you were your lively self.
Okay.
So
Emily, we identify where it is that we've got issues from the past, and so then what?
The first step, and if any of the readers are interested, they could read the book for more detailed information.
Right,
we only
right.
cover so much mm-hmm. in the time that we have together. So we must. Some people may have gone through therapy modalities, and they say, okay, just get in touch with that 5-year-old. Well, our brain doesn't want us to go to that 5-year-old right away. It needs permission from the protective system. The protective system, which is the parts of us that we don't like, the part that eats too much, the part that gets angry, the part that procrastinates, the part that is distracted all the time. So we have to learn how these protective parts of us are actually protecting us, because it's holding us back from actually expressing our light. And we have to see how they're protecting us. For example, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
The part of you, since a lot of people struggle with this, the part of people where they know what they should be doing to eat healthy,
mm-hmm.
and they could do it sometimes, but they can't seem to manage to have healthy habits for life. They go on a diet, and then they gain all the weight back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that eating part, eating too much part, a lot of people, if you say, how do you feel towards that part of you? I hate it. Well, if you hate it, it's you need to befriend it. You need to get to know why it's making you keep an extra 20 pounds on.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, let's say for somebody that's been emotionally abused or physically abused or whatever, they don't feel that it's safe. So this eating part feels like its job is to keep a little bit of weight on so that you are generic, that you don't stand out. Because if you stood out, maybe you'll get too much attention.
Interesting.
And maybe if you got too much attention, then it's the fear of criticism, because when you were pretty or handsome or whatever, maybe the teacher or the bully made fun of you, and because you were pretty or whatever it is, or somebody looked at your breath, you were growing too fast, and that little girl, that teenager says, "Ooh, it's not safe to be beautiful." So it takes on the belief that that you have to keep some extra padding on so you don't stick out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. And so when, as an adult, let's say you're in your 30s and you're trying to take the weight off, you've been you're dieting for years, and you haven't addressed how this eating part has kept you safe, and you're trying to make it go away, stop eating too much. Okay? That eating part still thinks you are a 12-year-old where your body is getting noticed by the boy. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel that it's safe for you to get slimmer. And so you have to get to know this eating part first. What's the story? How does it keep you safe? What is it afraid of? If it doesn't do its job of keeping the extra 20 pounds off, well, it's afraid that, you know, you might get noticed and you might get made fun of. Or, you know, for somebody who's had a physically abused past, and, you know, then it's not safe. Somebody's going to go after you, and you're going to be violated. Mm-hmm. And so it's about getting to know and befriend the protective parts of us and say, oh, I get it. I get that you have been protecting me to keep me safe all of these years. You're keeping me safe from abandonment, loneliness, and being unsafe, and I get it. Okay, I appreciate you. What job would you rather have if you did not have to keep me fat, so to speak? I would much rather help you to eat healthy if I didn't have to do this job of keeping all this weight on. Okay, well then, okay, so are you willing to show us the scene where the 12-year-old was made fun of by the boys, and so that we could go and rescue her out of the path? So what happens is that we, as the highest spiritual self of who we are, our real, true self, whatever you want to call it, the essence of who we are, we have the power to go back into those original memories, go back into that classroom when somebody made fun of you, and talk to that 12-year-old and witness her story, invite her to tell you what happened, that it was so bad for her when somebody makes fun of her. Nobody was there to support her. And so we, as the highest spiritual self of who we are, we have the power to rescue these parts of us out of the past and bring these parts of us, vulnerable parts of us, home to safety in our present home or at the park or at the beach, so that they're out of the memory and they're going to be, you know, telling you the full story of how bad it was. And then you, as the highest self, can kind of, quote-unquote, reparent this part and give this vulnerable part of you the love and reassurances that it needed when the bad stuff happened. Mm-hmm. And that's when you release the burden of, because these vulnerable parts of us hold the burden of when these bad things happen. These parts of us take on the belief, whoa, I must not be worthy of being treated right. You know, the world is not safe if I am pretty. If the world is not safe if I show my body and slim, or whatever that belief that part took on. Mm-hmm. When that happened. Because oftentimes these parts also take on the I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, etc. It's not safe to shine my light because I'll be criticized. And so us, as the highest spiritual self of who we are, we can help these parts to release the burden, that heaviness, the stuff that they've been carrying since they were a child, that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable. But it has to be done with the permission of the protective system, you know, such as I just gave you the example of the part that eats too much.
Right.
Yeah, and then you go back, go in, you rescue, and then the eating too much part can take on the new job of, you know, helping you eat healthy instead.
Emily, this is good stuff. We're going to talk some more about it right after this. We're going to take a quick break. I'm talking with Emily Phillimore. Oh, I knew I was going to mess it up. I knew. Emily Phillimore? Man.
It's okay. That's not funny. I'm an Asian girl with a funny Italian last name.
We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all. You know somebody that would make a good guest for the Journey of Hope? Would you make a good guest because of your success story? Have you got an idea for a good topic for the Journey of Hope? Send it to me. I've done this lots of times before where people have sent information in and we've used it on the show. And I would like to hear from you. If you've got a good idea about how to do that, remember you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Welcome back. We're talking with Emily Philamora. Hey, you know what? This is I'm glad this is the last interview of the day because I don't think I could do another one.
Okay. I forgive you, Rodney.
I'm so sorry about botching your name, but
okay,
I wanted to ask you about how this relates to ex-offenders. But before I do, I'm always curious about people that write books that are kind of in your genre there. What is self-actualization? And, I hear all kinds of answers. What is that to you?
To me, that is about unleashing the full potential of who I can be.
Is it possible? Let me ask you this. Is it possible for everyone to obtain self-actualization?
If they do the whatever self-actualization is for them, not everyone is supposed to be the president of the United States, and everyone is meant to be something. Maybe their self-actualization is being the best mom or being the best dad possible and providing a comfortable income for the family, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to reach that state, we do have to go back into the past in order to get rid of the blockages the negative self-talk and the self-doubt. Because those are all stuck in the past. Those are all parts of you that are stuck in the past. Because the real you is unstoppable, just like a baby. Like, imagine a baby. It's happy. It's balanced. It thinks, it has no fear, and then all these fears and insecurities develop, and you get programmed with the belief system that slows down your potential as a result of authority figures and peers telling you, don't do this, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, or, you only got a B, where's the A? When those get programmed into us, that's what happens. It dampens our potential because of these authority figures, parents and teachers and coaches. That's what stops the potential, and because they created these frozen parts of us that are stuck in our memory, and
Got
so
it.
We have the power to go back and rescue those parts of us out of the past, so that these parts of us become part of our cheerleading team to lead us forward. Right now, they can't be the cheerleaders because they're still stuck in the past.
Talk to us about how an ex-offender who's trying to get things back on track can benefit from your book, Emily.
The ex-offenders, I think the best way that they could benefit is the fact that they will understand that the reason why they did the bad behaviors, whatever it may be, maybe they abused somebody or they stole something, or these were just their protective mechanisms that had to go into an extreme role
in order to prevent the young parts of them from feeling the shame again, from being neglected as a child. You know, maybe they were emotionally abused or physically abused, mm-hmm. and then they ended up with this anger part that had to, the anger and rage, which again, this protective part of them that has to be angry and rageful and being controlling in order to feel significant, so that the little boys inside of them that were neglected and abused don't ever feel ashamed again. So they end up doing the bad behaviors, and they can't help it because they were overtaken by these parts. But the real spirit and soul, who they are, is not their behavior. The real soul and spirit of who they are is full of self-love and love for others. So this book will help them to see this, and how to permanently erase negative self-talk so you can be extraordinary, because everyone is extraordinary. So we have to address the parts of us that are stuck in the past, and they're going to be able to see, just reading the book alone, is going to give them the awareness that, oh my gosh, I am not a loser after all.
This is good stuff, Emily. How do we get the book?
You can buy it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to try this again. Emily Philomoro.
Philoramo. It's just pronounced the way that it's spelled. That's all.
Well, I don't have it in front of me. That's the problem. You would think that someone doing an interview on a podcast would have the name in front of them, wouldn't you? But not me.
That's okay, Rodney. This is your eighth interview. And so reading the book is going to give them huge awareness.
Yes.
And then they could go and look for the appropriate therapist that's trained in internal family systems to help them to get to know all of these parts of them that were doing the bad behaviors, to really understand that they were doing the bad, befriending the parts of them that did the bad behaviors.
So I got that.
As a result,
that's excellent.
You know, yeah.
That's
yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, and then,
okay.
Exactly, because people are not bad. They are not bad. They are lovable, and it's not the real them. It was just something that had to overtake them because of all the emotional and or physical abuse they suffered. And you know what? In the process of doing this work, we forgive those people who, the perpetrators, the people who did you wrong, because they were acting out of their wounds. So you end up having more compassion for them too, because like, okay, I forgive my mom or dad for not being there. I know that they were wounded too, and it was the only thing they knew how to do because they were acting out of their protective parts. So I forgive.
This is really good stuff.
Everything.
This is really good stuff, and I want to suggest that if you're listening now, to look over next to the podcast, and you'll see a link to Amazon where you can get a hold of Emily's book. Emily, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today. I think we could have kept going for another 20 minutes. This is cool stuff, but we got to stop it there. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome, Rodney. And, don't forget to, if you get the book on Amazon, you'll get a lot of awareness, and that awareness is going to make you feel good after reading the book.
Okay, good deal. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey.
Thank you. All right.
I guess the best part of doing this show is to get mail from people that enjoy it and have gotten something out of it. If you're one of those people, please drop me a line and let me know, okay? Remember, my email address is mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Hello there. I want to to thank my very special guest today, whose name I botched over and over again, Emily Filaramo. And I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.